On this fourth Sunday of Advent in year A of the three-year cycle, we get what is called the Annunciation to Joseph. Joseph did not sign up for what happened. He was blindsided by the events as they unfolded. After all, Mary was going to be his wife and the mother of his children after they were married, but then he learns she is with child, not his. He still loves her. We can tell because he did not want to hurt her at all. He didn't want her to be in any more trouble than she already was, so he would quietly end the engagement. But then the angel comes in a dream and cannot be ignored. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Everything is going to be more difficult than you had imagined. The life that you envisioned for yourself and your family is not going to be as you had hoped. Joseph is the saint for everyone, for anyone who's been going along in life, and then something happens or doesn't happen, the circumstances change, and you have to keep on living. Living through it, living into it. It wasn't what Joseph wanted. He could not have even imagined it, that his Mary would bear the child who would be called God is with us. These angel vision dreams are pretty powerful to get a person to go along with that. Being a person of faith then or now is not a guarantee, as you know, that all will go as planned. In fact, it probably won't. But for those who are open to angels and visions and those slight nudges of God here and there, we're not even sure it's God, but maybe it is. For those who are open, we are God's co-creators of life. Not life as we wish it could be, but the life that we communicate of God to others, the love of God, the reality of God with us and all the world, in places and circumstances where we find ourselves. Following what we know of God, believe about God, know of the way of Jesus in the world, we can be brave like Joseph, not afraid. Because like Joseph, when we do as we know we are called to do, there is grace, there is joy, there is hope, even in the darkness, even in a dark stable, dark manger, cave, light was born. So we learn from Joseph how to be open, open to the grace in the strangest circumstance, hoping, believing, expecting because God's promised it, that there will be redemption, that grace will show up. One example that came up for me this week, kind of around all these themes, has to do with how we as a church interact with our neighborhood. I have a vision for us, and I've talked with many of you about it, that we as a church community will be a community center, more and more a part of the world around us, not expecting people to come to us, but going out to them. Not expecting them to be Christian, but expecting that we can be Christ to those who live around us. inviting them to participate in our activities as they find appealing. You know, so much of what we do is done by people of all faiths, helping others, providing shelter and food. I had this plan for welcoming that saw us as such a great gift to the neighborhood, which I know that we are. But recently, just in the last week, and this is why it strikes me so profoundly, we've had more than one person tell us that, you know, because of you, the church, there are a lot of cars parked in the neighborhood all the time. And you know, that's we do so much more than just Sunday. So there's a lot going on all the time. There's so many cars and people and, you know, there's litter. This has been brought up as an issue to me more than once this week by our neighbors. So I had planned not to connect with people through litter. But you know, litter is really something we can all get behind in the, right? In the sense of we don't want that either. And we can be with them in helping with that issue. So I'm starting to have this Joseph moment. This moment of, it's not what I had planned or how I'd planned it, right? But we're getting connected, and we're getting some attention, and we're getting an opportunity to be with people in their life, in their world. This is what our faith calls us to be about. How wonderful, really. Because we are doing things, helping people, hosting people, there are a lot of people around, and I can see how, you know, maybe if people move to the neighborhood not expecting that. But what will the grace be? What will the grace be? But then there's another issue. As I said, we can all get behind not having a lot of litter. But then there are other things we do that we've also been hearing about from our neighbors. We've gotten a number of calls and emails about the flamingos we had out front with the red ribbons, which we had up for World AIDS Day to show our care and support for those living with HIV and to show that we remember and mourn those who've died. Not everyone liked those out there. And maybe some of you didn't, and that's okay. But what fascinates me is the people who don't come to this church called us up and said, that doesn't look good. Why is that there? It's fascinating. And then there are the signs of the safety pins. We've received more than one bit of feedback on those. Why do we have them there? We've been accused of supporting, well, this was said, those are Democratic signs. How can you do that? And of course they're not. And if you know, for those who may be listening to the sermon who don't know, it came out of England after Brexit, and it's all about being a safe place. And someone else said to us, well, you're a church, of course you're a safe place. Why do you need those signs? But as many of us here know, churches are not always safe for everyone, depending on who we are, who we love, what we're about. I mean, even someone who's been divorced isn't necessarily safe in some churches, in the sense of not being fully accepted and able to participate and valued for their completeness as a human being. So that's why we have those signs out there. So I have to say, I'm pretty proud of all this. I feel like we're headed in the right direction, that when people are calling us up, and you know, many people love it, but you know, when we get some negative feedback, we're probably doing something right. If you remember, if we remember, Jesus was not loved by everyone. He really, really upset people. When we are welcoming all and saying that everyone, no matter who they are, where they come from, are our neighbors, in the wider community as well as next door. And of course, we know very well-known tradition of our faith, the question is asked, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. The one who was outcast himself knew that his neighbor was every child of God. And that also has something to do with who we're called to be. This church has always been pushing at the edges. This church has always welcomed people who weren't welcomed in other places. And so there are many of us here who have wounds, who've been through things, who then can live out of that compassion we have in a way that maybe others, it's not quite as easy. Just like the Good Samaritan, he was there for the man hurt on the road. So our next banner, here's a little preview, probably to go up in the middle of January, says first in Spanish, "No importa de dónde eres, estamos contentos que seas nuestro vecino." The same phrase then comes in English, "No matter where you are from, we're glad you're our neighbor." And under the English, it says the same thing in Arabic. Now, Arabic is a language spoken by over 400 million people in the world. And if that's going to upset people, as it has been suggested to me, then so be it. So be it. If that puts us in danger of being criticized or becoming a target for people's hate, well, we are in good company with Joseph and Mary, who walked away from the norms of their society to answer God's call, to birth salvation, to birth light and grace for all people. This Advent, how are we preparing for what we await? Every time we help somebody, every time we provide shelter, as we are hosting Caritas this week, every time we affirm the dignity of every person, we are Advent people. We are preparing for the one who embodies all that is God, Emmanuel, God with us. The angel appeared to Joseph and said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." I believe God says to us today, do not be afraid to take on what will give birth to love. Do not be afraid to upset some people. Do not be afraid to go against convention if convention is in the way of God doing a new and beautiful thing. Do not be afraid, no matter what your circumstances, no matter how challenging the situation is, because God says to us, I will be with you. What have been the Joseph moments in your life where you see now the situation was not what you expected, and yet there was some grace, some hope, something of God that came from it in an unexpected way? Today we enter this final week of Advent for this year. But we take from this season a sense of our identity as Advent people who are awake to God, preparing for God, preparing a way as we wait for God to come to us, as we wait to welcome our Emmanuel once again. Amen.